Hello and welcome to From the Rookery End after Watford here at Vicarage Road. Drew 1-1 at home to Stoke after a Bristol City 4-1 defeat and a 2-1 away win against Blackburn Rovers, which is, it's been a long time since we've done a podcast, but thank you very much for listening to the Heidi Helgeson. My name's John, with me is Mike.
Good evening, John.
And Jason.
Good evening.
And I suppose we're going to be lucky not to have to talk predominantly about this one game, Michael. We're going to get to talk about three games, but I don't think we've just seen. This is what I'm going to start by saying. Walking up Occupation Road / Yellow Brick Road, there were more people here at the end of the game tonight than there were against Bristol City. That Rookery End, I think, was the loudest I've heard it for a very, very long time.
Yeah.
And there was a certain solidifying feeling to that performance after the sending off of Bayer after 52 minutes. And I suppose what I'm thinking is there was a moment we were chatting earlier, and thinking about this game, we'd, after that Bristol City humiliation, we wanted to see something from this team. And I suppose I really wanted to see something that I could take forward. And I suppose their reaction and how they played is something we can most definitely take forward after today's game.
Definitely. I think a humiliation against Bristol City is a bit stiff. I think we were beaten by a significantly better side that day. Watford definitely fluffed their lines. Bristol City executed their game plan perfectly, and Watford simply weren't able to deal with it. Had chances to get back into the game, fluffed it. But as you say, you're absolutely right to say that we had to see some sort of comeback today. You started off by talking about the crowd as well, and I think it's really worth mentioning that, because we've said in a previous podcast that this side does deserve a vociferous and boisterous and noisy home support. I mean, the emphasis being on support, and for that final 40 minutes this evening against Stoke, when the crowd really needed the, sorry, when the team really needed the crowd, down to 10 men against a team that was in the ascendancy to a degree at that stage, the crowd got going, and it was a noisy, bouncy, boisterous Vicarage Road that played a part in getting Watford over the line and getting a really, really hard-earned point. And so I think in terms of a reaction, what is, well, it's quite thrilling, actually, that Watford were able to get that done. It was, I think it's 50 or 51 minutes when Bakayoko Mbayo got sent off. I don't actually think he connected with the guy. I haven't seen the replay. I was on the side of Elton John. It didn't look like he connected, but he definitely meant to do it, and he apologised when he went off. And I thought, well, you've cost us there. And what had happened, we'd gone into the blue touch paper was lit on about 40 minutes, where there was a little clutch of yellow cards, including one for Valerian Ismail. And, you know, you're not going to fall into the trap of saying, well, Stoke doing Stoke things, because I think that they've moved on from that. But they were trying the press in a similar way that Bristol City did, that, and Watford were able to break free of it to a degree after about the first 10, 15 minutes. And then it just got a little bit more niggly after that. And I think the referee lost control about 5 or 10 minutes before the end of the first half. But as a piece, the two things that stand out. Absolutely delighted that the way they were able to get that over the line and come away with a point, where for all the world, if you had a quid to bet on the outcome at 50 minutes down to 10 men, it would have been an away win. And actually, Watford were pretty comfortable. Hamer had to make one really, really good save. There was a one-on-one, and he saved it. Apart from that, they did well.
I think I would be more annoyed as a Stoke City fan.
Oh, 100%.
Not being able to have 40 minutes to get a goal, being one man up, and they weren't able to break down Watford. And as we said, the crowd played a massive part in that.
I tell you who else played a massive part in it, though, and that's Valerian Ismail. I thought the way he shuffled his pack, he didn't make a change immediately, took a beat to work out what the best thing to do, brought Rajovic on to maintain that attacking intent, and waited until, I thought he'd gone a little bit early with this, but I think it was 75, 76 minutes when he brought Sir Alter on and Pollock on, and really said, right, let's just see this through and see if we can break. And I thought the way that Valerian Ismail shuffled his pack and set his team up to get that over the line, I think he deserves immense credit, as do the players, who absolutely put in a mega shift to get it over the line. So thrilling, but also I think the fact that we're starting to see the fragility of the squad in terms of its depth, So to rewind right to the start, so there's two massive takeaways from me. That team spirit that we might have been worried about off the back of a 4-1 home defeat from Bristol City, down to 10 men against a Stoke team who know what they're doing. It could have been easy for that lot just to curl up and get beaten, and they would have done last year, without question. The way they rolled their sleeves up was amazing. But I think we've seen how thin the squad is. We have Tom Deli Bashir at right back, and so they're the two main takeaways. But coming away from that, absolutely, as a football fan, as a supporter, yeah, I found it was great. Delighted, really, really pleased.
I feel like we learnt quite a lot, Jason, in the last couple of games, particularly, well, you know, the Blackburn away game. It wasn't exactly like we were dominating that game, but when they went leggy and we got our two goals and we kept pressing, then I suppose the bigger part was actually with the Bristol City game, where through the choices when he rolled the dice, Valerian, it got very messy, didn't it? But not today.
No, not today. And probably a couple of key players for me today. One, James Morris coming in, who out of necessity has had to come in. Jamal Lewis has been quite a steady force at left-back, a steady fixture at left-back in recent weeks. And where Valerian's been shuffling the pack, he hasn't been doing it with Lewis, and Morris has seen next to no game time for quite a while. He came back in today and I thought he did a decent job, and Mike talked about the changes on sort of around 75 minutes, where we've sort of taken off a lot of our attacking threat and we've sort of gone very defensive. Actually, the attacking threat then is coming from Morris, and he's playing, let's say, for the first time in a long time, but he was still trying to get forward wherever he could to be an attacking threat down the left-hand side. And for a first game back, having not played for a while, I thought he did a decent job today.
And he pulled up a couple of times, didn't he, near the end. I think, you know, again, muscles not being used for that long and that much impact, you know, that much level of high intensity. But he sort of went over and he kept going. And that's quite a nice feeling when you see a player come in but still have the hard work.
That's it, yeah. I mean, he knew he had a job to do and had to keep going. The other player I was going to mention, we've already mentioned him once, was Tom Deli Bashiru. You could probably look at him for the goal.
Yeah. He got rolled. Jason,
ball over the top, then got rolled quite easily. Aside from that, he impressed me today. I thought he had a decent enough game. I thought for a player filling at right back and then was asked to move into midfield again when those changes were made, and he was sort of playing just behind Rivish, and he still had a lot of energy, sort of working really hard, and did a lot of good things, I thought, when we were down to 10 men. So yeah, pleased with his efforts today.
Someone else who I think grasped his opportunity, and I think it might be pertinent as we move into the January window. I was about to say the January transfer window slamming open, but I mean, I'll say it anyway because that's exactly
I think it'll be creaking this year, Michael.
But I think Georgi Chakvetadze is probably one who might have been looking to having us exchanging a few WhatsApp with his agent to perhaps make a move in January, because he came in, you know, he's got some pedigree and just hasn't been able to get any game time. And I think the way that he looks to impact a game is really quite refreshing. He picks the ball up and he looks to drive with it. He's quite fleet of foot, he's quite slinky and silky, isn't he, the way he sort of slaloms down the pitch. A superb effort that had to be tipped over from the goalkeeper in the second half.
The goalkeeper, Mr. Jack Bonham.
Yeah, of course.
That's another story altogether.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I did wonder how the penny for his thoughts as he sort of took his place in front of the Vicarage Road end. I'm not sure if he's... I think he has played here since, but... Yeah, what an afternoon that was. And it, not quite as tumultuous as tonight as it was there that afternoon against Leeds. But yeah, so Chakvetadze, I think, has done himself favours as well.
I think we've talked about Morris, we've talked about Chakvetadze, we've talked about Tom Deli Bashiru, and I think that's my favourite thing about the squad, is actually he's picking the players who, yes, have been on the fringes, yes, have been just coming off the bench, but actually they're there ready to take the opportunity. And that tells me far more about what Valerian's doing compared to the managers for the last few years, where we didn't have that impact off the bench.
But I think the reason we're having to go to those players is because there's no one else as well.
But they're ready for it.
Yeah, absolutely. There is some talent available to us outside our starting 11. I think that's absolutely true. But the squad is creaking. The squad is thin. We look ahead to the next game here as Chesterfield in the FA Cup. With that in mind, I think Valerian Ismail was always going to make changes, but what was asked of those players today, I think the side we're going to see, unfortunately, because I absolutely love the FA Cup, and unfortunately because I think Chesterfield are coming here high on confidence. That Vicarage Road end will be full. It's going to be a tough afternoon because I think we're going to effectively largely an under-21s, under-23s side, because you cannot ask that team to go out there and perform again, I don't think, after that. Obviously, we've got Plymouth as well. But look, I just think they did everything that could have been asked of them after the sending off, and I think they have to take great pride in that, and as should we as supporters. They got out there. We could have nicked it. You know, I think Stoke, it's a bit of a misnomer, isn't it, that it's harder to play against 10, but sometimes it actually is, because you know exactly what you've got to do: stop the other lot scoring and hang on for a point. Hustle almost said hang on for a pint.
They've earned it.
The Royal Oak is still open, Mark. I read the Oak is open.
And so, but Stoke, you know, Watford pretty much nullified Stoke. And I think the overall piece is really, it's impossible not to be pleased with that. That's four home games without a win. Somewhere we should have done better than others, I think. I think we look, ironically, looking at Southampton and Ipswich, where we probably were more likely to get something out of the game. Bristol City were by far the better side and deserved their comfortable win. And we were in the ascendancy for large parts of today. After what we weren't able to do against Bristol City was break through and beat their press, we were able to get a foothold in the game today and kind of surrendered it. Tom Delibashiri got done down the right, and then we should have got the ball away, and they scored. But I've got to get my sort of slightly critical thing in, and that is that the final third, the final ball, and it doesn't seem to matter who it is, because we're continually getting into good places down the flanks or in and around the box, and that last ball, they just put lead boots on.
It seems to me at the moment, it's that the last couple of games, we seem to be looking to get balls in early, and I kind of understood that when Rajovic was starting, because that's his... modus operandi, isn't it? To be in the box, get on the end of those and stick them in. I'm not sure why we had applied the same tactic to Bio. He's certainly more of a player to operate with his back to goal, and I don't see that the need to get an early ball into him. I think for him more it's about having players around him, because he can play a ball into his feet, and he was showing it today, definitely. A ball into his feet, lay off, give it to someone else. And maybe that requires, or I think probably requires, more of a, not softly approach, but certainly not an early ball into the box. I did find that quizzical today.
Is that a bit more the fact that Ken wasn't playing? And actually that whole left-hand side. No Ken, no Lewis. It was Martins and... No, it wasn't Martins.
Yeah, Martins and Espirito start today.
And that just didn't... You know, Espirito from that side, the left-hand side, he was getting the ball and crossing it straight away. Is that? I don't know if that's a thing for the way he's playing compared to Ken, who likes to run at you. He wants to get in the box. He wants to get you panicked.
I don't buy that, I don't think. I think something we did well earlier in the season, you still see at times players trying to do it, and he got us the goal on Boxing Day as well, where you've got the wide player with the ball out wide, and then you see someone making that run into the channel and you play the ball in behind. We did that for Chakvetadze on Tuesday, and he scored a goal from it. We did it early on in the season. It created opportunities for us. So, yeah, I'd like to see us do that a lot more, I think, when Bayer's on the pitch. Obviously, he's not going to be on the pitch for a while now. We don't know how long Healy's going to be out for. So I think we are now reliant on Rajovic, so it might be early balls onto his head that have worked well. Certainly worked well against Rotherham, I think, if I remember rightly. And okay, you can understand it when he's playing, but when he's not so sure.
I think you're right, Jay. Some of those early balls, by their nature, you look to fizz them, don't you? And I think they were getting overhit. But in both halves, I think we were guilty of that. But also when you need a little bit of finesse, when you're looking for a cutback, or whether you're looking for, I think we just really, really struggle in that regard. I think we have done for a little time.
Is that purely down to the fact that the players aren't being, you know, played in the right way, or do you think it's actually more down to the fact we just don't have the manpower? Could we get more from what we've got, I suppose, is my question?
Yeah, I think that's a really good question, and I suspect, you know, Jace made the point that James Morris was playing as an advanced sort of left midfielder slash winger, really, and you're not really expecting him to put in perfect cutbacks. But they're all culpable, I think, to a degree. So there's mitigating circumstances for the likes of him, but there's other, you know, Martins and Espria. Are we getting the best out of them if we rewind back to when we had a full complement of 11? We really, you know, you look at those two and you think, right, they should be bums off seats. You should be hearing that domino effect of seats being clacking up as people get up. And it doesn't really happen enough.
Because they're not, again, is it the fact that they're not getting the ball in to the centre forwards, or is it the fact they're just not having a go themselves?
Yeah.
Would we get more if they had a shot? I mean, there was a bit in the second half, Tom Delabashir gets into the box, and I was at that point where we were, it was like, no, pass it off the goalie. If you need to, pass it off the goalie. Don't just wait for the part, you know, pass it back to your forward and cut it back when it slows everything down. It felt like you need to have a bit more of a go, which it did feel like. We played Preston, they were having a bit more of a go, and it came off.
Yeah, I think ultimately it's bad decisions, a bit of a lack of quality, as you alluded to, people popping up in wrong positions. It will click, I'm sure, but it just at the moment at home, it feels like that's kind of like where we're coming unstuck a little bit in that final third. We're still got issues all over the park, but I think it just feels like the point of the game is to stick the ball in the net. We do really, really good work in keeping the ball out in front of Ben Hamer. We check for Tadze this evening, for example, moving forward. Then we get it into the areas, and it's either poor decision or poor execution. And it's, I don't know what the answer is. Your probing questions are absolutely right, and I think potentially it will click and it can click. But I just find it so immensely frustrating. I mean, Stoke could have been out of sight, really, because with the amount of ball, I'm not going to say chances, because Jack Bonham didn't have loads of saves to make, but the amount of ball we had, I guess, in that final third in the danger zones, just weren't able to capitalise. So I think that's something that Valera and Ismail will be concerned about. But overall, I think it's impossible not to feel buoyed by that performance this evening.
Defensively, we saw many defenders sort of on there, Jason. But you can't think, like, my mind is going towards this whole thing about January is coming. Are we going to have to get a striker in? Of course, well, that's what we all desire. We need something more up front. But everywhere else, it seemed to be the right choices in terms of rotation that he had for who started in midfield and defence as well. He's rotated those quite nicely. The rest of it wasn't bad, but defence was probably the best.
Yeah, it was a pretty solid performance from the back four. I think we still lack depth in the fullback region, given the injuries to Ngakia and now to Lewis. Delibashir having to play there. They certainly did a lot more competent job than Tuesday. Again, goal aside, Porto still has that tendency to run around like a headless chicken at times. When it comes off, it looks great. When it doesn't, you end up with situations like we had in the second half, where both him and Morris have gone out standing on the touchline as the wingers flick the ball inside to the man in acres of space, and you think, oh my God, what's going to happen here? He just needs to get that right. Coming back to Morris, I mentioned him earlier, sort of about his attacking threat. I thought defensively from him, read the game really well, again, as we've seen before, cutting out a lot of sort of balls where they're trying to play the ball out to hit the winger he's marking. He's read a lot of them, picked them up, and then sort of taken the ball forward. That was good from him today. Again, pleasing to see from someone that's not played a lot of football. And Hoot was a more standard solid Hoot performance than maybe the odd one or two we've seen recently. No own goals, only one dodgy pass, which was quite funny. We'll all remember it because he made a great tackle on the edge of the box. Everyone's still going Hoot as he gives the ball away to the midfielder, and it was sort of brought that to an abrupt end. Aside from that, decent solid performance from him today.
It's your helicopter.
It's your helicopter, Michael, I think.
Yeah, well, it's either that or is it our new American owners? Who knows?
That's probably the is it the Coates family? Bet365? Oh, is that them?
Possibly.
I think they normally fly to games.
I think they've got the money to be able to fly to games. But actually, let's leave the game behind. I think we've talked about it enough. And I think what is fantastic is that we are leaving buoyant. But you mentioned there, Michael, yet another possibility of a takeover, or more like an investment in the club. And it has been wonderful to see the classic Twitter reaction of saying, this is it, this is our moment, we're going to be back there and back in the Premier League and all the good things are going to happen. And I will always put my hands up, remembering when Vialli took over, me thinking, this is it, what are they going to be bringing? And we all know what happened after that. So I always have that within me. But it seems interesting that it's an American owner, and yeah. We do know from other American owners around the country of them being very much buying things without their own money.
Yeah, leveraged buyouts. They're not a new thing, and there's absolutely no indication that that's the case here. But if we look at the...
But that's what American ones do. That's what I'm just saying. By previous American owners at other clubs.
I mean, the most comparable one is Burnley.
Yeah.
And they were bought, effectively, the new owners borrowed money against the club to buy the club. So they generated cash by taking out a loan secured on the club, started with nothing, borrowed... So we're a long way from that happening. We don't even know if that's the... Sorry?
Are you waiting for taxi?
No.
I need to pick up someone.
Not us.
Mike's taxi was over there with his helicopter.
What did I say? I thought he was saying, are you Chuck for Tansy?
Absolutely. No, I'm not sweating yet.
We very, very early stages. The news broke this morning, didn't it? I think it was The Athletic that broke it. There's a piece from Adam and David Ornstein just talking about initially it being some investment from an American investment firm. Ultimately, they'd be doing that to get some money back, because that's what investment companies do. So how they go about that, we'll wait and see. It's the first. It's been, 12, 13 hours since we found out. And we'll be watching with interest. But who knows? But that American template does seem to be that leveraged approach. And of course, there's nothing necessarily wrong with that. Burnley are in the Premier League with that setup, albeit only for a season by the looks of things. And if an American firm is coming in to make money, you'd have thought that the way they're going to do that is by either player trading or having a successful football club. So. I think it's one to watch as times like this when supporters can be critical friends.
Yeah.
Keep an eye on things, try and work out what's happening, try and work out what's best for the club and react accordingly. But it's just never a dull day, is there?
No, I mean, there's lots of that piece on The Athletic, Jace, where it was all about the fact that this is happening, and when someone reports on something like that, you think, oh, well, it's a bit further down the line, maybe. And in the same article, there were three or four other possibilities of takeovers that happened.
Mm. Mm.
I suppose it's right that we don't get overexcited about it, but it gives ammo to the Pozzo out gang, isn't it? DCW sort of says, what's the phrase? Not love what you know. Better the devil you know, I suppose, is what he was sort of saying in the pub.
If you can't be with the one you love the one you're with.
Yeah, exactly. But this is... We've been here before, haven't we, Jason? How do you feel about it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You saw the story broke this morning on The Athletic, as you say, and you sort of... It piques interest, and your mind probably very quickly wanders off. What could this mean? And you sort of start to read some of the details, and, as you say, not a great amount of detail at the moment. We've got no idea who these people are or... how they're going to plan it. We can probably work out, as Mike has said, how they would do it. And you can't sort of quite quickly come back down again. A lot of work to do, nothing to get too excited about at the moment. So it'll be there buzzing in the back of everyone's minds, I'm sure. But for now, we just sort of wait and see how it evolves.
A podcast made by Watford fans, for Watford fans, from the Rookery end.
One more Championship game, Michael, before the FA Cup. Not a home game, a league home game until February. Possibilities, players coming in sooner, later, possibilities of players going. I think we got a bit of a hint that maybe losers go because of some posts he puts on social media.
On the bench today, and I was actually thinking it would have been much the same way as Chuck Fatate came on, has come into the fold in the last two games and done his stock good. I thought today might be a chance for Imran Lusa to come in from the cold. But obviously, if there is a game that you cannot bring Imran Lusa on, then that was it. So that's a bit unfortunate. Look, in terms of the January transfer window, the fact that this news is filtering about this potential investment, I think that probably tells us a story as to what sort of funds are available. So if we're looking to bring in a striker, in January. We need one, but I think the fact that we're still looking for this investment or takeover or whatever suggests that's where we're at in terms of funds. There ain't much there. So in terms of, we may want it, we may need it, but is it going to happen? I know where my money's going, and it's on if whoever is sent to stand outside the London Colney training ground on Sky Sports News having a very, very quiet and cold afternoon. But yeah, Plymouth next, and it's going to be a real tough one.
Well, they've got a new manager.
Yeah. I mean, we saw their old manager tonight against Stoke. Long way to go.
Long way to Plymouth.
Yeah,
especially after having played with 10 men for half an hour.
Yeah.
A passionate home crowd at Home Park. I've actually got a little bit of a theory that this Watford side quite enjoy playing away from home. And Chris, it feels very, very alien to be saying that all of a sudden after going what feels like about 16 years without any some sort of a joy away from home. But I think they kind of revel in this them and us. I think they like creating
today was
this,
all about
yeah and I think that's when they do their best work. So I think potentially up against it, knackered, a thin squad, against a noisy home crowd, there's players who've got there's players with something to prove. Maybe Imran Nusa will get a chance because we're running out of bodies, so it's an opportunity for him to either show what he can do here, earn his stripes, earn his stars, get back into Val's good books, or put in a couple of star performances so he can get some sort of move away. Because at the moment, if he is looking to manoeuvre away, you can have the best agent on earth, but if you're not getting into a side that's what 10th, 11th, 12th, 13th in the Championship, you're hardly going to be top of the many people's draft lists, are you? So it's a fascinating time. Valerian Ismail is going to earn his stripes, earn his corn over the next couple of weeks. But I think what we can be certain of is that whichever 11 takes the field, I thought it was interesting actually, as Bayo went off, he sort of put his both hands together and apologised to the crowd as he went off. He started to clap and then thought, well, that's not the right gesture, and sort of did the sort of, yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
and I think that's even little things like that. He didn't just slink off. He sort of fronted up as much as you can.
Compare that to when he sloped off.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, last year when Toby came on and got his winning goal.
Yeah.
Yeah, big contrast, like you say.
Well, we'll see what happens. The Plymouth away, we'll see what happens. The Chesterfield and the Cup, we'll see what happens on the many away days in January. I think one's on Sky. Hey, that's a good thing. Mike, but I'm looking through into the Hornet shop. We don't stand outside of it as much. I think there's a Watford snood hoodie.
Oh, what
over there?
The
Hoodie, that's the one.
Are you fancy one?
Well, I would, but I know the wife would never let me wear that on camping trips. But there is that new retro kit.
Yes, there's the blue RCL away, blue one. Yeah, it's an absolute Bobby Dazzler, that, isn't it?
Absolutely.
But yeah, I'm excited to see where this side goes. I think the Bristol City, you're trying to wrap up, I know, but the Bristol City game, I think we had that coming to a degree. Blackburn and Preston could have been very, very different results. Ben Hamer arguably man of the match in both of them. Ironically, Preston, we won 5-1. We could have been out of it by half time. Preston had chances on another day, probably eight times out of ten Blackburn win the game, and that, and we had a bit of a rude awakening against Bristol City. We've dusted ourselves down and re-shown our credentials in terms of standing shoulder to shoulder. It feels so good that they're able to do that. They've sort of passed a very, very different sort of test. You never can predict the nights like this. It feels like a game that's been going on for hours and hours and hours when you think back to kickoff. But I think they've passed another awkward, annoying test tonight, and that means that we go into the new year. Yeah, I think I'm proud of them. I've enjoyed the season so far, and I'm excited to see where it goes. Come on, you Hornets.
Thank you, Michael. Thank you, Jason.
Thank you.
And we're back with some more podcast. Very, very soon. Come on, you're on!